From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Pete Stoughton. The Tolley family is a longtime Park City family who has been here since the 1930s and have long been part of the community as business owners, athletes, Olympians, civic activists, and all around great next door neighbors. We speak with Grandma and Matriarch Mary Lou Tolley and her granddaughter Tana Tolley, who now runs the longest running family owned business in town, Red Banjo Pizza. Thank you so much for accommodating these COVID circumstances, and we are excited to have both of you here on our show. Grandma Mary Lou Tolley, what is the best way that you like the entire community to refer to you? Is it Grandma or Mary Lou?
Well, either way, but my little great-grandson, who is 8 years old, calls me Shiny because of my gray hair. So Shiny is close enough.
All right. Well, for all those listening, we are talking to Shiny Tolley, one of the matriarchs in our community. And how does that make you feel as being described by KPCW as a matriarch and a long-standing resident of this community?
Well, I was born and raised in Park City, so I've been here all my life, and I was born in 1937. My grandparents came from Ogden in 1915, and so we've had Park City ties since 1915. Mm. And my grandfather was an engineer at the Park Con Mine in Deer Valley over at Snow Park. And that's where it all started, was in 1915.
Mary Lou, and why not just call you Shiny? That's pretty cute. What little kids come up with.
Well, and then all his little school friends call me Shiny.
That's great.
That's one of the advantages, having gray hair.
Yeah, absolutely. So four generations of Park City High School graduates, and of course, your granddaughter, Tana Tolley, there next to you at the Red Banjo Pizza. As the youngest one, and obviously this 8-year-old's probably going to grow up and be the fifth generation of Park City High School graduates. Talk about how it was back on Main Street when you were a kid, Mary Lou, and then as you moved into owning a business, did you ever think you would own a business on Main Street?
Well, I didn't, not at the time. I didn't think anything about it. I mean, I didn't think I would be qualified, number one. And then it's turned out wonderful. We have had a lot of local support, and we have hired a lot of local. We've had many, many students. We used to have a waiting line for students that wanted to work at the Red Banjo, and now we're looking for help.
Mm-hmm. Boy, times
so
have changed.
So it was a place where after the ball games, we'd all come to the Red Banjo. My sons both played football, and then we'd always have the football teams up for pizza after all the fun things at the high school.
And Tana, I understand that you have been waiting tables there pretty much consistently since you were about age 5. Now, weren't there some child labor laws back then?
I don't know about in the 80s. Maybe they just looked the other way on those. But I learned so much about life basically just growing up in the restaurant. And I would come here after school every day in 86, 87, and all of my friends wanted to always come over to my house because my house meant you could come have pizza and, you know, Dr. Pepper that your parents didn't know about after school. And we all went to Parley's Park, and back, you know, in the 80s and 90s, there was just one elementary and one middle school and one high school. So it was still pretty small even when I was growing up. But yeah, my friends all loved to play restaurant. It was a really fun time. So we had, my grandma can tell you this funny story, but we had grown men who would go golfing and then come in for beers and pizza after just to see if I was here and would be their waitress. So,
and if she, people would ask for her. On Mother's Day, we had four fellows come in from the golf course and she waited on them. And she always, on the ticket, wrote something on the back. And for these men, she wrote Happy Mother's Day on the back of the ticket for the men, and they got such a kick out of it, called me over to see the ticket, and then left her a $20 tip.
We certainly hope that's still going on, although it sounds like, Tana, you're running the business, not initially waiting the tables. But you still see the life and the vibrancy on Main Street, and the character has changed a little bit. Hopefully, people are still coming in after golf, but what have you noticed differently on Main Street now?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that is that there's a lot less locals, you know, which has happened over the course of the last 15, 20 years. With COVID, though, we definitely saw a lot of locals come back, and that was amazing. And people would call who said, you know, I haven't called in 4 or 5 years. I haven't even been to Main Street in 4 or 5 years. And we just want to come back and support the local businesses. And so I think that vibrancy is still alive with the locals and, you know, the new people coming to town. I really hope they come to Main Street and experience that there still are mom and pops. You know, I hate to hear people say there are no mom and pops on Main Street, because that's definitely not true. And there's still a lot of businesses who have been in business, you know, 30 years. Our neighbors across the street, Northwoods, have been there for 35 years. And there's still businesses that are thriving on the street. And it's not necessarily big corporations or big chains. And I now serve as the vice president of the Historic Business Alliance. And, you know, we're really trying to get that message out too, that we want the locals back here. And we want to be able to share the street with them just as much as we do with the tourists.
And so let's go ahead and go into our series a little bit. What does it mean for the Tully family to be a local? You know, what are some of those quintessential features? Because we have a lot of great new folks in town, and they, like myself, are craving to be a local, and we need your wisdom.
Great. I'll let my grandma start. We'll let Shiny start on that one.
All we know is Park City. We have been here for so long, and it is, so fun to be able to see all the happenings and enjoy everything about Park City.
And Tana? Yeah.
I mean, I think the best thing about being a local is really our historic district. I mean, that's the quintessential part of our entire town. And my grandmother, myself, my father, and my nephew all live on the same street in Old Town. And even with all the crowds, and even when it seems like there's a lot of people here, getting up really early in the morning and being able to, you know, hike up PCMR or go straight to the ski resort or go down and ski on the track is just the most amazing part about being here. And I think, you know, my grandma and I were talking before this, and I was probably the person, I left here at 19 to go to, or 18 to go to college, and I had Park City in the rear view. I was ready to get out of here. This was too small of a town. I wanted out. I was going to California. And, you know, within a year I was back. So then I tried that again. And I've done that a couple times, but every time I've come back, and this is where, you know, I definitely want to be. But it definitely took that, got to get out of a small town, see what else is out there, to realize that this is actually the best place you can be. And, you know, one of my favorite things now is that my niece and nephew go to the same bus stop that I went to as a kid. And, you know, there's still this very small town community here. And a lot of my friends have come back from college and started their families here. And it's just, it's great to see the next generation experiencing and loving Park City as much as we did. And that's, yeah, what I think is the best part, is just really just being here, being around the community, and, you know, being in nature. We are surrounded by such beauty and such excitement. So, you know, that's what I take advantage of.
Oh, so well said, Tana. Just this morning, as I was coming down the steps into the radio station, and as you both know, we have one of the best views in all of Old Town, but I was watching on Quinton Time someone who was up there hiking, as many people do in the early morning, and probably both of you have done over the decades, but I was watching a dog running down the middle of Quinton Time so quickly, I couldn't believe it. I almost thought it was something sort of rolling down the hill, and it made me stop and look how many times that I've sat in this chair and looked up and seen either that scene or a moose or deer up on Quinton Time. It really is kind of the quintessential experience of Old Town, and you've gotten to live it your whole life. Mary Lou, for you, well, I kind of hear that you're called the queen of Old Town up there on Empire. How many neighbors are still there sort of year-round that give you that sense of community?
Right across the street from me, there's 6 new homes, and all of them are part-time residents. So we don't have any neighbors at all on our street. There's about 4 of us, and 4 that actually live there full-time. So we are a very quiet neighborhood as far as people being around.
You do have, we have JW, who people have probably known from around town. He does.
Oh, yeah.
He does live next door to my grandma, and they actually share a little pond. They have a lot of moose visitors, but that's cool. That's, you know, some of our neighbors that actually still live on the street. But there are very few, unfortunately, and I wish there were a little more kids to play, you know, especially with my niece and nephew who are on the street. But we at least still have the experience of our family all being there. And one of my favorite things is my nephew can run up to my house, which is like eight, nine houses away, just like I did when I was a kid. And I would go to my great-grandmother's house. And now I live in my great-grandmother's house, which my great-great-grandparents had bought in 1915. So we have those same homes in our family after, you know, all these decades and a century, actually.
Oh, I love talking about these historic homes in Park City. Some of the things, the old miners' homes, they threw them up so quickly, and sometimes you find things hidden in the walls, and you find out that the insulation was newspaper. And I'm sure both of you can speak to that, because Tana, I know you're on the Historic Preservation Board, and then Mary Lou, you've been living it your whole life. So Mary Lou, you want to talk a little bit about how great that construction was?
Oh, in the old home?
Yes.
Well, it was restored. My mom and dad had it redone and a new foundation put under it in the 60s. And so that is fairly new. But the home I live in was built in 1898, and we've restored that. I've done a lot of work. We've taken all the paint off of the woodwork, and it's just a fun home. It's a big home, and we've lived there and enjoyed it. I've been there for a long time.
It's an old home that actually has a parlor when you walk in, and it definitely represents the late 1800s construction in Park City. So it's a little bit different than some of the 30s and 40s construction that you see. So there's not very many of those homes that were from the late 1800s, but we're fortunate enough to have one in our family.
Now, for those listening who have worked or renovated any type of older building, it's a labor of love. And I remember redoing my bungalow in Sugar House that was a 1916 bungalow and stripping the paint off the gumwoods and trying to get those gumwoods back. There's an element where, you know, sometimes you have to choose, is it worth all of this labor of love to refurb and to bring back the historical character? Why don't we just blow it down and you know, make it new? I'm sure you've struggled with that, being on the Historical Preservation Society and on Main Street. Why should we take the time? Why should we, you know, peel the paint off of the gumwood and highlight the history?
When we took the paint off of the woodwork, it took me 3 months to take the paint off of the woodwork. And in the front room, there was gold paint that was almost impossible to get off. And then all the stained glass windows were painted. And it definitely was a labor of love, but I enjoyed every minute of it. Sorry,
and I would
Anna.
Say the stories. You know, about 2006, 2007, we decided to redo the floors here in the restaurant in Red Banjo. And we went through, I want to say, 5 or 6 layers of flooring before we reached the hardwood. And that was really tough. We had linoleum, we had tile, anything you can think of. We had carpet, another carpet. You just kept going layer by layer. And when we got to the bottom floor, to the main hardwood floor, it was amazing what we found. I mean, it was a gold mine itself. And basically, it told a story. So one of our favorite parts of it was that there was this ring of cigar burns in a circle all the way around what looks like it was basically a gaming table from Prohibition. So people had been in here. It was, you know, it was illegal, but it was a Prohibition era before we bought the building. And people would have their cigars and they would just put them out all the way around the gaming table. And so, you know, that's the kind of stories that are amazing that you can uncover when you get down into the roots of the home. And that's what I love about it. And I tell those stories to people who come in all the time. And our building tells a story for sure. And we have pictures from the early 1900s all the way up until now of our building and what it looked like. And our favorite story is that and I'll let my grandma go into more detail on this, but the restaurant, before it was a restaurant, was a bar for a really long time called the Park Tavern. And it has two doors, which it still does, because women were not allowed to sit at the bar. So there was an area where women could come in a door and sit, and then there was the area where the men could sit. And obviously back then there weren't a lot of women in town, but they were not allowed to sit at the bar. So, you know, we still have remnants of that, and we still have an old cash register here and the same original bar and the same original bar stools of the 1900s. So it's really a historical building in itself, but then a history lesson when you come in to have a pizza.
So we have kept the double doors, and that's one thing that we've really enjoyed. But when I grew up, I remember that Park Tavern, and that's what it was called, was the Park Tavern, and walking by, and the doors were always open, and you could see in. But the person who owned it was Mike who owned the building was Mike Sofonidis, and he was a Turkish fellow, and he lived right behind the Banjo, right over under China Bridge. That was his home. But they always said that he couldn't hear, and I'm sure that was right, but he could hear a paper dollar bill drop on the bar. So that was the kind of reputation that the owner had. And I thought that was also a fun story. And then there was also spittoons along the division.
Are they still there?
No,
not the spittoons. There might be some gum. So.
Okay, some gum spittoons.
Yeah, there's plenty of gum under the bar, that's for sure.
Well, we encourage our listeners to not just, you know, support a local business, but to step back in time and join the Tullys, as you are so welcome to share the stories. For me, I hear what you say, Tano, about the stories when you revitalize things and you step back into the past. And one of the encouragements I would give to new residents is to not be afraid to step into the stories locally. You know, come into a local business and see what it's like and hear and taste and smell all of the cultural elements that have been around for many, many years. Hike to a mine relic and imagine yourself, you know, carrying a very large load of ore. Do you have any recommendations if you were to say, you know, if you've moved here, here's two or three things besides visiting your restaurant that you would recommend people to do, Tana?
Yeah, so my probably will give away my favorite thing to do, and then everyone will go there.
Well, then don't go there.
No, I would say one of the greatest things that I've started doing with COVID was really experiencing my own backyard, right? So, you know, where have I not hiked? Where do I want to go watch the sunrise? And this year, I have probably watched 100 sunrises from different locations around Park City. And really, it's every time I try to time it so I can get there, and I'm like, am I going to see it? And, you know, some of the best ones to start off with are, and you probably can't do it right now, but once Guardsman's opens, is going to the top of Guardsman's. And you can walk to the very tip top and watch the sunrise over the mountains and see the entire valley below you. And actually, it's not a hard hike because you can drive and then you can hike about a quarter mile. So, you know, that's something to just take a breath and say, oh my gosh, you know, when things seem chaotic in town and there's a lot of traffic, this is why we're here and this is why we do this and this is why we love it. And, you know, I also just encourage people to take a tour of Old Town. So, mm-hmm. you know, there are historic walking tours, but do your own and notice the different time periods of each of the homes. For those who don't know, any home that is in Park City that is historic does have to go through the preservation board, and we do our best to keep it looking similar to the way it was when it was first built. So you can see, you know, the old time, you know, parts that have been kept, even though it is modernized. And I think just walking through those places is amazing. And I encourage anyone also who doesn't do our trails to just, there's so many trails and there's so many amazing things you can do on the trails, you know, just getting out and running or cross country skiing or hiking, or even I take the kids to look for crystals, and there's actually, I won't say where those are because that's our secret, but there's crystals in these mountains and you can find pieces of cool rocks. And that's one of the fun things that they love to do. So, you know, there's so much to do, especially during this time when we're not traveling and we're not necessarily doing things beyond our own family. We have a backyard that is just an amazing playground, and I encourage everybody to do things beyond just the normal going skiing or going mountain biking.
Oh, well said. That I hadn't thought about the summer that we did a lot of crystal hunting when my kids were in, like, I don't know, second and fifth grade or something, which was quite a while ago. What a great thing. I wanted to ask you, Shiny, so many people move here because they want to give their children the experience of growing up with all this outdoor activity, and many of them have sort of this goal in mind of their child becoming an Olympian, which actually happened to you, and it probably wasn't even by design. Talk a little bit about the three kids you raised, and I've chased Scott on many cross-country ski race, and I don't even bother chasing Roxanne because, I don't even see her after she leaves the start line. So talk about that element, raising kids here.
That was the most fun thing ever. My kids grew up. Scott's my oldest, and he started skiing when he was 5 years old. They didn't have year-round kindergarten at that time, so he was 6 years old before he started to school, and him and his cousin would ski every single day. His dad was on the ski patrol, and my sister, whose son skied with Scott, she was in the ticket office, so they had people right there at their beck and call, and they would ski day after day after day. And I chased races for all three of my kids. One year we had a race, my youngest was in Beaver Mountain in Logan, and then the other one was down in southern Utah. So I really did chase races until Roxanne started skiing with the Olympic team, and then of course I wasn't able to do that. But now our little one, Donovan and Carson, they're both skiers, and they're just continuing in the footsteps. And right now Donovan is taking jumping lessons, and he skis every single day. He has kickers and gliders and jumping, and then learned to race. So that's his life. And he asked his mom one day, he says, "Now what kind of skiing am I going to do today?" He knew he would be on the slopes, and just loves it, and it makes me so happy that the kids have had that opportunity.
Growing up in Park City, it exposes you to all these sports, but in the Tolley family, there's some real genetics and DNA that gives you sort of the hometown advantage, shall we say. Mary Lou, were you a big athlete growing up as well?
Well, you know, back in my day, there wasn't too many things to do. I played in school sports such as that, and I did ski for a while, but then after that, I chased races and didn't have enough time to learn. I'm not that good of a skier. My family can all out ski me, but it's fun for me to watch them have fun.
I think it skips generations, to be honest. My dad and my Aunt Roxanne are probably two of the best skiers, if not the best skiers in town. And then I'm not the best skier. Neither is my brother. And then Donovan and Carson are amazing. So Donovan says all the time, "Can I be an Olympic downhiller and a Nordic combined skier in the Olympics? Can I do both?" So, you know, maybe that'll be a new thing you can do. But if you see me out there, don't think I'm going to take you from the mountain. I love to ski, but I am not my aunt or my dad.
Very well. We won't put that kind of pressure on you, but that's pretty cute. His aunt Roxanne must love it. I guess great aunt Roxanne must love hearing that, because I know she was an Olympian in alpine skiing, but she is a really world-class in her age group cross-country skier. Really amazing. We could talk to you two women all day long, but I feel like we've just gotten started on the story, so maybe we'll have to have you back for part two.
Absolutely.
Of this conversation.
A two-part series. Love it. For two people.
Yeah, we love it. Thank you so much for having us on. We really appreciate it, and we hope that we've given people a little bit of an idea about a different kind of Park City than that you might normally see here. So.
That's right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks to you
and
both.
Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you.
Wow, they were great. Love that.
It's like stepping back into history.
It really is. But we can still embrace that and live that here in Park City, just as they lived it in the 70s or the 80s or the 90s. You just have to work at it a little bit more and remember to really do the things that they were talking about.
Right. And so far in all of our guests, you know, getting outside is one of those critical elements where people are saying, no matter how you get outside and become familiar with Park City, and not so much the city part, but the park or the mountain part of it.
That's right.